souls, searching for a way that is true. Their lost and lonely eyes are looking for some help. Why not let it be you who leads them to Jesus, their souls he'll set free. He will change their destiny. You can make a difference in this world. You can find those precious hidden pearls, lost and buried in the sea of pride and sin. You can make a difference. So many souls are bound by the chain of sin and strife. They're fighting for a life that is free. They're lost within this world, just waiting to be found. Why not let it be me who searches to find them, the gospel to share? Eternal freedom can be there. I can make a difference in this world. I can find those precious hidden pearls, lost and buried in the sea of pride and sin. I can make a difference in them, and we can make a difference in this world. We can find those precious hidden pearls, lost and buried in the sea of pride and sin. We can make difference in them. We can make a difference in this world.
Thank you so much. Great song. She sang that Thursday, but I really liked it, so I asked her to sing it again today in our services. Turn your Bibles to Joshua chapter 7. I'm not going to have you stand. I'm going to read it for you this morning. We don't have a lot of time. By the way, if you're visiting with us this morning, I just want to let you know this is not our typical service. This is more geared to our building. And so you come here and say, man, we're going to have PowerPoints about that, you know, plumbing and toilets and all that? No, we're not, all right? Just that this is what today is, and the message is a little different, a little bit quicker. So you say, man, I didn't really get this. Come back next week. You'll get it then, okay? It'll be better. So Joshua chapter 7, I'm just going to read a couple verses. Look at verse number 1. It says, but the children of Israel committed a trespass and the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, the tribe of Judah, took the accursed thing. The anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Verse 10. The Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. Wherefore liest thou upon thy face? Israel has sinned. They have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and it's also stolen and disassembled also, and have put it even among their own stuff. Brief story. The Israelites just went into the promised land. They fought the first city, which was Jericho, and they defeated it. And God had told them when they move into the promised land that they were going to get the houses, they were going to get the goods, they were going to get to take everything. The fields, I mean, whatever they did, they were going to defeat all their enemies, and everything that belonged to their enemies, they were going to get to keep. But God said, the first city, Jericho, you don't get anything. Destroy it. Don't take anything. Verse number one, there was a man named Achan who took some stuff. Now, in the verses we didn't read, they come to the second city, Ai. Ai was this much smaller city, a city they should have pounded easily, and they lost. So Joshua throws himself on his face to God, like, why did we lose? And God goes, stand up. Get off your face. He goes, the reason you lost, somebody has stolen, someone was disobedient. That's where we're at. Verse 19. They find out, they do the little, I call it rolling the dice. It's not rolling the dice, but God gave them a lot, and they found out who it was. It was Achan. Verse 19, Joshua said to Achan, my son, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession. By the way, it's always easier to make confession once you get caught. Amen. That's not confession, that's guilt. Okay, you got caught. Okay, I'll confess. No, you don't need to confess. You were busted. All right, but anyhow, it's a message for another day. Come back next week. We won't talk about the building. We'll talk about confession. Tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel. And thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels, then I coveted them and took them. And beheld, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent and the silver under it. He tells the whole tragic story about what happened and how he took it. Now, I've only got a few minutes. Let me give you the gist of it here. Okay? Achan did not have the faith to sacrifice. God had promised them that when they get in the promised land, there was nothing but good stuff. He was going to take care of them. And all he asked for up front was to sacrifice the first city. Don't take anything. Afterwards, you'll get everything you need. But trust me on this one. Don't take the first city. And yet Achan, as he walked through that city, just could not do it. You see, if we're going to sacrifice, sacrifice takes faith. Giving up that which we want because God has called us to leave it alone for a greater purpose. You know, I look at this thing here. It's almost like tithing. God tells us to give the first 10% of our income. God doesn't tell us, and I'm not preaching on tithing. If you're new, don't freak out. God doesn't tell us, go ahead, pay all your bills, blah, 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 blah. Take the kids to the Wiener Schnitzel, wherever you're going to go. And then whatever's left, give it to me. God says, you know what you do? By faith, you sacrifice in giving the 10% up front. And then I will not only take care of you, I will bless you. The problem is we don't see the blessing until we're willing to do the sacrifice part first. He didn't do that. Guess what happened? He thought that I won't sacrifice, I'll take here, and I'll get it up front. Not only did he lose that, he didn't get the blessing on the second part because he lost his life. God saw it as a big deal. What, God's going to kill me if I don't give? No, we're not there. But what was his problem? It was a lack of faith. He didn't believe that leaving that stuff alone, that taking something that he thought he needed, that he thought was good for him, that he thought he could use, that he thought God was wasting by just destroying it. I'll take it to myself. The silly thing is, he couldn't even use it. He hid it in the dirt. I mean, come on. He took a Babylonian-ish garment, you know, made in Babylon. So here he is walking out of Jericho, and then all of a sudden he starts walking around with a new coat, and they're like, hey, buddy, where'd you get that? Because they just came out of Egypt. They just came out of the wilderness. They didn't have that stuff. So he couldn't even use it. Instead of waiting to the next cities where he could have taken all that stuff and used it freely. Now my question, I'm going to answer two brief questions. You say, man, I wish you always were this fast. Don't get used to it. I want to answer two questions. What is the problem here? Why do we lack faith to sacrifice? And let me just say this. It's about the building today. It's going to take sacrifice to get in. Yep. Anything of any value takes sacrifice. Yes, sir. But we live in a society where we want full benefits with minor involvement. Full benefits, minor involvement. That doesn't work. Now, why is that so appealing to us? Because of our flesh. We want to get everything, and we don't want to put anything in. And by the way, those emails are lies. Make $5,000 a week from home working 4 hours. You know who the only one making $5,000 a week working 4 hours is? The guy who sent the email. So we have to sacrifice. Our building, this church, it's sacrifice. By the way, how did we get to the point we're at right now? Sacrifice. People sacrifice to get us off of Anaheim and Raymond, the shotgun capital of the world, gang fights in the church service, gunshots. Literally, Pastor Esposito and I, one service, a couple of guys we knew right across the street. I mean, we're charting church, and they're going to get in a fight. We went over there, and we were peacemakers, and then they're pulling out guns. It's like, you idiots, go ahead, shoot each other. I'm out of here. And then we sacrificed, and we got out of there, and we got to Pacific Avenue, which was great, but it was very small. And so we sacrificed to get out of Pacific Avenue to get to this church. Now we need to sacrifice to make to the next step. Listen, most of us would not be here if others have not sacrificed. It's just not reality. Yep. But why don't we sacrifice? Why are we like aching? First of all, we don't really believe God. God said, don't take of the accursed. Now, if God said something's cursed, I'm staying away from it. You know, it reminds me of Lot's wife. They said, get out of the city. I'm going to destroy the city. She said, okay. And then he said, don't look back, because if you look back, I'm going to turn you into a pillar of salt. She looked back. Now, I can only think of two reasons why she looked back, Brother Bichardo. She wanted to die, which in that case, she would have just stayed in the city. But you know why she looked back? Because she really didn't believe God was going to kill her if she looked back. And he did. We really don't believe God. We understand that God says he blesses when we care for others. We understand that God says if we're a church that we're supposed to reach out to others. That's the heart of God. We really don't believe it when God says he tells us to give and he tells us he blesses giving. And it's like sowing seeds. And that's what this building is. But we really don't believe it. And by the way, God does bless you, but you'll never know until you do it. That was the one thing, when I became a new Christian as an 18-year-old, I don't know where I got it from. I went to church maybe 4 or 5 times in my whole life before I got saved and I got right with God, started going to church, and I didn't never hear a message on it, but somehow, some way, I knew you're supposed to give. And unlike most 18-year-olds, because I had been kicked out of school earlier, I already had a good job and was making money. I didn't have a lot of bills. I was doing okay. Brand new motorcycle, all that stuff. But I'm supposed to give. And we just nailed that right away. And I've been doing it my whole life, and we've increased it. And we give to the missions. We give a lot to missions. We give a lot to the building, over and above what we tithe and give to the church. And let me just tell you something right now. God has always blessed us. Now, I didn't do it up front because I wanted the blessings of God. I just did it because I was supposed to. But I found out later as I started reading the Bible, God bless. And by the way, not just giving, God blesses every area of obedience. God says, if you do what I say and you obey me, I will bless you. But you're never going to find out until you do it. Until you do it. So if we really would believe in God, we would trust him and do exactly what he tells us to do. And the last reason is this: we really don't deny ourselves. You see, you know what sacrifice is? Sacrifice is when we deny ourselves what we want for something that's of a more important and a greater good. They did a study many years ago. They took some small children, they left them in a room. The teacher gave them all one marshmallow and said, I'm going to leave the room for 5 minutes. You can eat the marshmallow if you want. But if I come back in 5 minutes and you didn't eat that marshmallow, I'm going to give you another one, and then you can eat both of them. Well, how kids are. They left the room. They come back. There was a certain percentage, about half of them, a little more than half, that ate the marshmallow. They just didn't have enough self-control to deny themselves. But the other ones, they watched the kids through this glass mirror, and some of the kids were like struggling, but like, no, I want that second marshmallow. That's not the study. You know what the study did? They followed those kids years later when they became adults. And you know what they found out? The kids that could not deny themselves enough to wait for the second marshmallow were the ones in jail, you know, early pregnancy, out of school, struggled in life. And the ones that did better, the ones that could deny themselves. See, sacrifice always brings blessing. But we have to deny ourselves. We can look at what we have and God, you know, sometimes God, you know, we pray, Lord, I want to give to the building. It provides this money. It's like, oh, that's great. Let me use that for this. Lord, I want to give to the building. It's like God provided and you didn't deny yourself. And by the way, we're not asking you to do this all the time. But I'm just saying, are we willing to say, Lord, I will do exactly what you want me to do when it comes to the building. I want to be a part of it. What's the point? I had a lot of points. We don't have a lot of time. The point is this. We've got to have, you know, it takes faith to say, I can take money which I can use for something on this earth, and I'm just going to use it for something that is eternal. By the way, you know there is an afterlife. Thank God for that. Amen. The more you read the news, and I don't try to read the news, I don't want to get depressed, the more I'm like, thank God there's an eternity. Thank God there's a heaven. And it'll, one day it'll all be over. And we'll stand before God, and I guarantee you none of us will regret what we gave for the work of God. The people that were reached, the people that were helped, because we sacrificially gave, whether it's our money, our time, whatever it is. But we have to have faith to see the eternal value and the blessing that will come up front. And then we'll do our part. Achan didn't. Achan wanted it now. And he paid the ultimate price. Those that waited did not. It takes faith. Let's stand together this morning. Thank you for being patient with me.